Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we're covering something that plagues so many trans people for so long and can be so incredibly painful. And even when we transition, we don't know for sure if it'll get any better. Photos and reflections. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the mirror of life that helped me find my true reflection, Susan Bridges.
The mirror of life?
Listen, it's hard to do those, so many intros for you, that I try to keep everyone different, so I gotta stretch sometimes.
Yeah, that was a stretch.
It was.
Okay.
Our guest this week is Arada, a femme non-binary scholar and artist based out of Michigan. While it may not be obvious from her current social media habits, she used to really struggle with having her picture taken. Over the last year, she's cultivated a new appreciation for the art of the selfie and enjoys sharing her unique sense of fashion in queer spaces online. Arada credits the support she found in trans social media spaces for her newfound sense of confidence in front of the camera lens and in the world at large. Welcome, Arada.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, so there's something that you mentioned there in your bio that I think is really important, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about it, and that's support in trans social media spaces and the confidence it gave you, because I think sometimes people overlook how important social media can be for people from marginalized communities. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, and I think that seeing yourself reflected in media broadly, whether it's like legacy media or new media, social media, like to have like inspiration and to see what's possible.
Yeah.
But also to affirm that you're not alone in the world and that like maybe your particular approach to presentation, but there are other people like you, that it doesn't feel like you're walking a path alone. And I think that there's something really powerful in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was really tough for me too, because like when I came out, it was summer of 2020, so the middle of the pandemic, and we were still kind of like half in lockdown so much. And I know a lot of trans people discovered their transness and came out in that year too. And
cracked, we couldn't a lot of get, eggs.
Yeah, yeah. And we couldn't get the sort of in-person community. And so I think a lot of these trans communities, I know trans communities were very active before then, but I think since then it's even just gotten exponentially more. There's so many out there.
Yeah, and online communities have been a really important part of finding connection. I think a lot of us are, you know, might be in places where we're one of a few or maybe
sure,
the only one nearby. And so like we have since the 80s been on message boards and connecting, and
yeah,
like having in-person community is incredibly important. But during those periods of time where we either don't have one around us or we can't access them because of something like lockdown,
yeah,
that having those online spaces where you can be visible and feel safe doing so and seeing other people as they transform, like there is something very powerful in that.
There really is. Like, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have the community that I found pretty early on, which was even just to see other people going through and to ask them questions about things that, like, I didn't have anyone else to ask, you know?
Right.
Like, is this normal? Should I be feeling this way? Or is it normal for this to happen on HRT or what have you? So it's really important. And I think there's so many times that people are like, you know, social media friends, online friends, they're not real friends. And yes, they are. They're real people, you know, behind those screen names, and you can form real connections with those people.
I mean, I have online friends that I talk to more than I talk to the folks who live nearby. Like, it's
yeah,
those connections, no matter how mediated they might be. Like you're connecting with a real person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It matters. I mean, that's how we met each other online.
That's why we're kind of outliers.
So I don't know, maybe, but well, I liked that though, because that meant I got to know you as a person, your personality, and your thoughts before I even knew what you looked like. And so that was really cool. I think that's a really cool way because you're getting to know someone without any visuals, without hearing their voice, without looking in their eyes. You just get to know who they are inside. And there's something really cool about that, I think. Okay, so for you, what has been the best thing about transitioning?
I think that it is, this isn't just in relation to gender. It's been something that I've been finding and cultivating, is that it's okay to lean into my strengths.
Yeah.
And there's something really freeing about saying, okay, the expectations are this, but I'm good at this, so I'm going to do it this way,
Yeah.
and being comfortable with that. And I don't know, like since starting transition, there are definitely things that are more difficult, absolutely, but like not having to run everything I do through like this filter,
Oh,
right? 'Cause I'm
yeah.
still in the closet or I'm still trying to perform something that doesn't fit, right? That like being able to take away that filter frees up so many, like so much energy, right? That you can put into your connections with other people. And I think that that is something that I didn't realize the amount of energy and like it's like mental RAM
Yeah,
doing that
yeah.
until that's until I got to shut it down, right?
Yeah. There's actually two essays that I did about that. And the first one is called Into the Unknown, aka What is Happening, aka A Whole New World. When I went to an event full of people I didn't know for the first time as my true self. And I used to hate those. I used to run away. I used to hide in the corner. I used to never want to go. And all of a sudden, it was cool. And I liked talking to people, and I'm like, what is happening? It's because my dysphoria was so much less and it freed up so much of my brain. And the other one called Lunch with Tilly, freeing up my brain. And I used to hate food that I wasn't familiar with, anything. I could not handle it. And I thought I was just a super, super picky person or what have you. But when my dysphoria got better, I started craving all of these new things. This whole world opened up to me, all of these amazing foods that I didn't have the mental bandwidth to handle for most of my life, you know?
Although, to be fair, your mother did not know how to cook
No,
food
she did not.
in a reasonable
But I
manner
didn't even
when
like
you were
trying like a new restaurant or whatever. I just could not process it because I was dealing with so much internally already.
I know. But
But
also,
also, she could not cook, so it was terrible.
Tilly would be like, this is a recipe from my mother. And I'm like, that is a list of ingredients. That is not a recipe. That is just a couple of foods. That's not.
I will now give you, listeners,
No.
my mother's Sloppy Joe recipe. Here
Oh,
you go.
God.
Ground beef. Okay, you're browning the ground beef. You put in a whole bunch of sugar and ketchup, and you mix it together, and that's your
That is
Sloppy
the
Joe.
entire recipe.
It's
That's
just, it's
terrifying.
like candy meat. It was so sweet. Okay, but we're getting way off topic now.
So bad.
All right. So, on the flip side of that coin, what would you say has been one of the worst or most difficult parts of transition for you?
I think just like the incredible amount of patience that it requires.
Oh, yeah.
Patience with old friends and family as they're making adjustments and to
Sure.
varying degrees of success.
Yeah.
And patience with just like the slowness of transition, be it
Yeah.
from, I mean, your endocrine system can only do so much, can only work
Yep.
so hard, but also the slowness with which we deal with the medical system for those of us who are medically transitioning and
Yeah.
seeking those options. That like there's, I think for me, there was a long period of knowing that I was not a cis dude,
Yeah.
but not knowing exactly what I was,
Sure.
and the process for even starting any kind of like a transition outside of, you know, just doing a little gender bendy stuff here and there, right? Like that took so long to arrive at some level of assuredness. And
Yeah.
then it's like, okay, I'm ready to jump in. It's like, cool. Here's all the things that you have to wait like months or years for. And I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
awesome. All right. Well,
Yeah, I remember the first time I took my first HRT dose and staring at the pill in my hand and being like, wow, this is it. You're doing it. This is amazing. And it was so scary, but I'm going to do it. And I took the pill and I'm like, that's it. And then you wait and you wait and you wait. I'm like 3 months in. I'm like, what is going on? What? I knew intellectually it takes a very long time, but still you're just like, why? But I'm here now after a whole lifetime. I don't want to wait anymore. And you have to keep waiting. And yeah, it's really tough. It's really tough.
I just want to push the button, right?
Just let me push that button.
Makes me
yes.
A girl.
Yeah. Oh, if I had that button, let me tell you. All right. Before we get started with this week's topic, where can people find you online after listening?
Yeah, I am on Blue Sky. My handle is theythem.press, P-R-E-S-S. Theythempress. If you look me up, that'll probably be the first one that comes up.
Excellent. For many trans folks, photos and reflections don't show us representations of ourselves. We can intellectually recognize that the person we see is us because we're taught that that's what we look like and therefore that is us, but we don't see ourselves as our true selves. So what do we see? It's difficult to put into words, especially since it's going to vary for every trans person. For some of us, we may see a distorted version of ourselves or ourselves buried under a horrible mask and pain. For some of us, we may see a complete stranger that we have no connection to or that actively repulses us. This was the case for me. If you need more on that, check out episode 59 on gender dysphoria. It feels like we need an entirely new branch of language to better convey some of these complicated trans topics because we can only kind of get close with clunky metaphors. Here's clunky metaphor one. For fellow gamers out there, imagine a character that you hate from a video game that you love. In this metaphor, your life is the game, but you can only ever control the one character you hate. You're technically in control, you're moving and interacting with the world, but it's as a person who is not you, doesn't feel like you or look like you, and may even be the antithesis of you. And the world reacts and responds to you as that person, not as the you sitting on the couch covered in chip crumbs. Listen, I don't know how you play video games. I'm just giving you the genuine Tilly experience here. You can take a screenshot of something you enjoyed in the game, and when you look at it later, you see that character you hate who isn't you. You know it was you controlling your avatar in that moment, but it's not you in the photo. Does that make sense? Clunky metaphor 2. Imagine a person you've come across on social media that you despise. I suspect this is not a huge leap for most of us because, phew, there are some questionable folks out there. But now imagine that all of your interactions on social media, through email, through Zoom calls, through everything, you were forced to post under that horrible person's username and avatar. Even if you behave entirely differently than the person you're thinking of, people still respond to you as if you were that other person and punish you for not being who they want or expect you to be. Even if you don't see yourself as the handle you're posting under, every single other person in the world does. Which is not to say you're a bad person or you see yourself as a bad person. Again, the metaphors are clunky. It's just that the world is interacting with you as if you are someone you most definitely are not. Clunky metaphor 3. Have you ever seen baby photos of yourself? Do you remember being a baby? No. People tell you that baby was you and you have to believe them, even though it does not seem to be you as you know yourself. Now imagine all of your photos give you that feeling, and not just photos, but every time you look in the mirror, pass a shiny window, look in the surface of a swimming pool. It's your life. It's every second of every day. Okay, Arata, do any of my clunky metaphors for this experience get close to describing how it was for you?
Yeah, like I think the video game, so I work a lot with games, so like my mind clings
well, cool.
to game metaphors
sure.
pretty frequently. So yeah, I kind of think of it as if I'm a mage in talent, in appearance and everything.
I always play
like
mages.
How I feel, right?
Yeah.
And but like everybody sees me classed as a barbarian.
Sure.
Right? They're going to have expectations for what I can do, personality traits, right?
Yep.
Things that like that don't fit. And like, yeah, if you roll a character that, you know, has mage stats, you could play as a barbarian. But it would be a really big struggle and it wouldn't feel right. And
you won't make a very good barbarian either.
Right.
You just won't. Yeah,
it would be a lot harder, right?
Sure.
And, you know, if you could class switch, things might feel comfier. You might actually be quite good at what you do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like trying to perform this set of like expectations that are just like, I am not suited for. I do not, it does not resonate with me. And what you had said about the pictures of you as a child, right? And
Yeah.
like not recognizing that person. And I used to hate pictures of me as a kid, like inexplicably, now explicably, but
Sure, it makes sense
only there
now,
were
yeah.
signs, right?
Only, yeah.
And that, yeah, that I had just made that connection that I did used to feel that way, and I no longer feel that way. I'm just like, well, yeah, of course that doesn't look like me. Like I haven't looked like me until approaching recently, right?
Yeah, same.
And so that I also have like some a higher tolerance now to seeing that and being like, okay, that's a cute kid.
Yeah, that's something we're going to get into in a little bit. Although, actually, I don't know if it's this episode or the next one, but we're going to talk about that some coming up. But, another thing that I just realized that, Susan, I used to say this to you all the time. And again, there were no signs. I used to say, oh, well, sometimes it's just there's a tiny woman inside piloting this body like a mech. And it was always a lady, like the little lady inside me is piloting this body around. There were no signs whatsoever. But that's kind of how it felt. You're so disconnected from yourself, you feel like you're just watching yourself go through the motions, I always said you were a 14-year-old girl. You never corrected me. Like, well, I would laugh. Oh, how funny. If only I were.
Oh, I was just gonna say the mech metaphor like absolutely hits, and like I don't think it's any coincidence that like one of the trans stereotypes is like being into mech anime, right? Being into giant robots that are being piloted. That resonates, I think, with a lot of our experience.
Yeah, something touches you inside that you connect with that, and you don't know why, right? But you're like, something about this seems like me? And my whole life pre-transition, I thought I just hated photos of myself because I wasn't photogenic. But my present photos disprove that, don't they? Hey, oh, okay. Anyway, I love the way I look now, and I can be happy about it. Trans people go our whole lives never seeing ourselves and hating the way we look. If and when that changes, that is to be celebrated. Taking and posting so many selfies, as so many trans people do, isn't vanity. It's making up for a lifetime of never seeing ourselves at all. It is trans joy incarnate. But anyway, imagine you're at important events, family gatherings, hanging with friends you love, going places you want to remember forever, and you know that if you appear in any of those photos, every time you look at them will bring a whole mess of sadness because that wasn't you. The defense I subconsciously invented for this was pulling a weirdo face in almost all photos I was in pre-transition. How on earth does that help? Well, it distorts my face, which in its own weird way lessened my dysphoria at seeing photos of myself. And to be clear, I had no idea why I almost always did that, but looking back now, I can clearly see that that's the reason behind it. I always thought it was just because I'm a fairly goofy person. If you listen to this show for any length of time or follow me on social media, you have likely figured that out long ago. I sing nonsense songs to Susan here all the time. I love the absurd. It's part of who I am. And so those weird faces allowed me to see a window into the actual me buried inside. Like, does that make sense? Before I transitioned, my lovely stepmom, who I reconnected with a long ways back, loved seeing photos of me and Susan on social media. I talked a bit more about that in Parents Who Will Never Know the Real You, aka My Dad, in episode 24 of this show. But she once asked why I was always making a weird face in photos, and I honestly didn't know at the time. It wasn't until I started untangling the knot of discovering I'm trans that I really understood the why of it. I'm not going to post any old photos with my weirdo faces in them in the text version of this topic. They used to give me dysphoria, but don't anymore, which is something we'll talk about next week in photos too. Oh, look, I was so nice. I put that note in there. Come back next week, folks. We'll talk about that. Okay, so you touched on this a little bit before, Arata, but how do you feel now about pre-transition photos of yourself? Do they bother you? Are you more okay with them?
I think that there's like a layer of separation there now that makes it more comfortable to look at them. That's like, okay, yeah, that isn't me, and it was me at the time, and like I'm okay with that. So yeah, it definitely feels like there has been a change, like a growing sense of comfort, even in seeing photos of me from, just like a year before I transitioned, when I hated, again, still being perceived photographically.
I felt also that it was harder at first. Like when I just started transition, I couldn't look at them. But as you get further in, it eases up. At least it did for me. So
Yeah, it was about like, I think I made my Blue Sky account about a month after I'd finished my first year of medical transition. And I had like made it with the intent that, okay, I am starting to not hate when I take a selfie for one of my
yeah.
partners, right? Like, I have not made a good practice of taking photos consistently, and I want to be able to see. I'm so jealous of people who are like diligent and able to take these like wonderful timeline photos that like,
Ooh, yeah.
and they do that like time lapse thing. And it's like, oh, if I had the diligence for that, I don't. But being able to grab a picture, not quite every morning, but I try, and then have it somewhere where then I can go and I can scroll and I can see like, okay, this is what happened in year two.
Yeah.
And so like part of it was like the intentionality of a new account, of knowing that this was a particularly trans space. And like over the last year, like it's been really lovely, a really lovely practice, and something
Yeah.
that's helped me get a lot more comfortable with the way that I look as changes are starting to facilitate that, right?
Yeah, and it is really good at that, at helping you see the changes because they happen so slowly. And so, as we talked about earlier, and so when you look at a photo, I can sometimes see, I'm like, look at the difference in my face between these photos that are 6 months apart. That's remarkable. And you can't see that on a day-to-day basis. So it's good for documentation of things as well. I kept an old photo from our wedding on my dresser, and let me tell you about it. My lovely wife Susan and I are at our table at the reception shortly after the ceremony. Susan's in her wedding dress, a smile of pure, actual happiness on her face. She is radiant and glowing. And next to her is what appears to be a man who looks spectacularly uncomfortable in a tux, putting on a very bad fake smile because smiling for photos is what you're supposed to do, especially when you're happy. And I was, but I was also miserable. Thanks, Dysphoria. I talked more about that photo in episode 72 on a trans re-wedding when we redid our wedding earlier this year with the real me, and it was the best day of my life. Anyway, I don't know what other people see when they look at that old wedding photo, but here's what jumps out at me. Even the best day of my life to that point was marred by dysphoria and photos I hate, where I see a human who is not me, but I was forced to pretend to be, and it hurt me so much to have to do that. And there's nothing I can do about it. Getting to replace that photo with one from our re-wedding is legit one of the many big reasons I wanted to redo our wedding in the first place. I shouldn't have to see a celebration of our love and feel like it also rips my heart in two.
I like our photos were legit terrible from the
Yeah,
no.
he was a very bad photographer.
Like one of these years, I literally went through and threw out 90% of them. Like they were just so bad.
They were very bad photos, in
Oh
addition
no.
to, like they were just horrible. He was not good at his job.
It was bad. Okay.
I should also mention that the Matrix film franchise, especially the first and fourth movies, deal extensively with reflections and the way that they impact trans people and are used in the trans allegory. That's the entire point of those movies, to say some really important things. And you know what that means. It's time for a book plug. So for more on that, check out my book, Begin Transmission: The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, available everywhere now in hardcover, paperback, digital, and audiobook, read by yours
It's
truly.
really good. It's a really good book.
Oh my God, thank you.
And I read like 100 books a year and I hate like 90% of them, so.
You're not just saying that because
I
you're
would
married.
absolutely never just
No,
say
she would
that.
savage me if she hated it.
I
So
would.
that means a lot to me.
I think I found you through that book. Like, I think
Oh
you
my gosh,
either like
really?
saw you post about it on Blue Sky and like went to check
Yeah.
it out and like followed you immediately after I ordered the book. And it is like,
Aww.
indeed, it's really, really good.
Oh my God, thank you so much. The check is in the mail. Okay. You can also check out the series of episodes we did on the trans allegory of Barbie, which began in episode 61, and the trans allegory of Silo Season 1, which begin in Episode 36, and the trans allegory of the Twilight Zone's A Nervous Man in a $4 Room, which is at tillystranstuesdays.com, to see even more on the complexities of trans people and our reflections. Okay, so you touched on this a little bit before, Arata, about seeing ourselves in media, even not just social media, but like the media that we experience, arts, movies, television, books. Has there been any that really spoke to you in terms of transness?
I mean, historically, they've been very few and far between. I think the first time that I felt like seen by a piece of media was the web series, The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo.
I've not heard of this.
Oh, it's so worth checking out. Like, it's 5 episodes. So watching the series is basically watching a feature film in length. Yeah. But it is the most accurate and authentic depiction of disaster queers that I have ever seen in my life.
Amazing.
And that, like, it's so, so rare that I find a piece of media that I'm like, this was made for me. Like, this is me that I see reflected back. And the characters are, you know, all kinds of various sexualities and expressions of gender. And it deals with like experimentations in gender in this really lovely way. I mean, it's incredibly also like just crass and messy. And it's really beautiful. I think like, I don't know if I've seen any like films that I felt myself reflected in, or I felt resonated with my experience until I watched, like, this last summer was such a good movie for trans cinema. The People's Joker, Vera Drew's People Joker.
I have Incredible. It on DVD, but I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, I've heard such good things.
I saw it twice when it came here in the theaters, and then I've been trying to, like, pull people together for a double feature with that, and I saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
Which felt less like seeing myself reflected and more seeing like the path feared, right? Like it's such this like slow and gorgeous piece of filmmaking.
Yeah.
That like that one I've seen like 4 times already, I think. I keep showing it to people and like knowing that it's like, listen, I'm going to cry like 3 times in
so
the
next
hour
times.
And 20 minutes. So like just, you know, be prepared for that. But like the People's Joker is so incredibly like DIY punk in its aesthetic and so internet brain fueled, right? For lack of a better term. And I mean, like Vera Drew's been editing for Tim Heidecker and Eric Wareheim for, I mean, since like the early 2010s, maybe even sooner than that. But I mean, it's really clear that this kind of like chaotic, messy, low budget aesthetic that she shows so brilliantly in The People's Joker, you can see where that influence came in. And I think it's like the first time I've ever seen a depiction of a trans couple, like a T for T couple that is, I guess, messy and harmful to each other. And just like, it doesn't put this like, I guess, like shiny veneer over it.
Sure.
Like you rarely see a T for T couple in media anyway.
Yeah.
But like this one felt really singular. Like I've never seen this in a way that I found really, I was very thankful for it. Yeah. So big plug for People's Joker, and I saw the TV Glow. Like those, this summer is the first time I felt reflected in a piece of. Yeah.
We definitely have to watch our copy of The People's Joker, and I'm sure I'll have a lot to say about it afterwards. But for folks, of course, I just finished the 7-part series on I Saw the TV Glow. So go back and check those out if you have not yet. But be prepared because, yes, it is a very emotionally heavy movie. Okay, I want to leave you with one more related example about photos and reflections that actually isn't about a photo or a reflection, except that it is. Okay, let me explain. You may have seen, if you've followed me for any length of time, over the years, Susan and I have had art of ourselves done by different comic artists that we've worked with to use on our writing website, business cards, etc. Our present one is by Ezekiel Strange. The comic we're working on with him is so amazing and fun, and you're gonna absolutely love it when it's ready. You can also hear him as a guest on this show in episodes 15 and 16. And I love the art that he did for us a whole lot. It doesn't hurt that we're in our re-wedding dresses in it either. And if you're curious, you can see it in the text version of this essay at tillystranstuesdays.com. And after that, you can see the one we used for years before my transition, done by the also amazing Penelope Gaylord. She's a fabulous artist, and this is in no way any fault of hers, but let me describe this image to you. Susan and I look like old-timey writers at a typewriter. The false guy version of me is wearing a fedora, tie, and suspenders, and is scratching his head and has a sad, very worried expression on his face. Susan looks super cute and has a slight smile. In art created for us and of us, looking like old-timey writers, I intentionally asked her to make me look distraught and worried. Why the hell would I do that? Because even though I was a generally happy person, as much as I could be outside of my dysphoria anyway, that is how I felt about myself, about images of myself, be they photos or mirrors, or even cute, adorable art made by a friend. And it's so sad that that's what felt right at the time. Dysphoria was always there. It's always been with me, manifesting in millions of little ways. Until I figured it out and said, oh, hell no, I gotta fix this. And so I transitioned, and lo, it actually fixed itself. Thanks for being here, Arata.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I hope this little window into my soul has helped you better understand what some of the effects of dysphoria can be. If you could imagine how this would make you feel if you had to spend even 10 minutes that way, much less your entire life, maybe now you have a better picture. And speaking of better pictures, to end this on a high note, check out one from my birthday included in the text version of this essay because my selfies are fire. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyatillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
We're very busy!